when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know what transpired on your week this week, but it is a comforting thought to know that we can come into the house of God. Something ought to change when we enter into the presence of Almighty God. It ought to change our sadness into joy, because God is a good God. It ought to turn our worry into worship, because He is worthy to be praised. And we're just so glad that you have come this morning to praise the name of Almighty God. And we're thankful to our song leader who directed us in singing this morning, lifting us up before the throne of God, and for those who have joined in to sing along with him in praising the name of God. We appreciate all who have directed us in our devotional services. And I know that you don't typically see me up here on Sunday morning at this time. And so let's keep Brother Gibbs in our prayers. He is involved in a meeting in Frisco. And so let's pray for that effort, that much fruit would come from those efforts there. Also, today, we appreciate always those who visit with us, and we want you to know that anytime that you are in this area on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, we welcome you to come and to be with us in our services. And so for all of those who are visiting with us, we appreciate your presence this morning. And among those who are visiting with us this morning, there's a very special group we want to recognize, and that is our parents and family from the Greenville Avenue Child Development Center who are attending our worship this morning. They are here to celebrate the Week of the Young Child, and their theme is celebrating our children, the youngest learner. And so we want all of those who have come to visit with us from the Child Development Center, if you don't mind standing, that we might see you and give you a special hand. All right. So glad to have you with us this morning. Thank you for coming, and we hope that you will come back and be with us again. And we certainly appreciate the work of Sister Deborah Henderson and Sister Margaret Johnson as they lead in our Child Development Center. It is a top-notch Child Development Center and recognized for their work, and we appreciate them, but I know they look at it more than just teaching children their ABCs. They see it as a ministry and being able to serve children and families in this community, and we appreciate what they do. This morning, if you would, let us look at the book of Mark, to the scripture that was read in our hearing, Mark the first chapter and verse number 40 through 45. We were ignited on last weekend. We had an awesome time with our workshop, our teacher's workshop, and then our singing workshop, and then being fed the word of God by Brother Red, we had an awesome start to our next quarterly theme, which is the heart of Christ. And so we're hoping this morning that we can continue to contribute to that theme and admonish us in ways that will help us to incorporate the heart of Christ in our lives. We visited our sick and shut in, and they were uplifted. It was just a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And so we want to continue with this theme of looking at the heart of Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse number 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. From this text, I want us to consider Christ's compassion for a leper. Christ's compassion for a leper. When we look at the book of Mark, it has been notably labeled as the gospel of action. For Mark places most of his emphasis on what Jesus did, as opposed to some other writers who focus on what Jesus said. Mark does not take the time to list the genealogical heritage of Jesus. But his gospel contains more miracles than perhaps the others. And when you look at his book, you will find his key words are immediately and straightway. He wanted to show his Roman audience that Jesus was about business. He wanted to show that he was the great servant who could perform the work of God. He shows him as God's great servant. And as Jesus begins his Galilean ministry, he demonstrates power and the miraculous power of the Spirit. He starts off and he shows that he was able to clean a man and cast out a demon from him who was in the synagogue. He comes to Peter's mother-in-law and heals her of her fever. He cast out devils and was healing men of their diseases. And so Mark is showing us that Jesus has the power. And what he does is he invites four men, Peter, James, and John. And he tells them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And on their fishing expedition, they caught a man in the synagogue who had an unclean spirit. They caught Simon's sick mother-in-law. They caught individuals who were possessed by demons and those who were diseased. And I'm wondering if those men, when they were invited to be fishers of men, had the idea that they would be catching this kind of fish. They perhaps thought that since this is a king, we'll be in the royal palaces. We'll get men who are of high esteem. But everywhere Jesus is going, he's catching folk who have demons in them and who have disease in them and sickness in them. And I'm pretty sure they're wondering, well, what kind of fishermen are we? Well, I knew this blew their mind when he came upon a leper. He would put a leper in the net. And here his disciples are seeing Jesus with all kinds of fish. And of the synoptic accounts of this incident, Mark is the only one who prefaces Jesus' response to the leper with this phrase, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. What prompted Jesus' action? It was his compassion. When we look at compassion, the biblical term means to be moved from within. It comes from a word that was used for the intestine. In a sense, compassion describes an aching within that causes one to show care and concern for another. In a literal sense, the word describes a stomach ache. Compassion, like intestinal pain, ought to compel you to do something. In most cases, if you have intestinal pain, you're going somewhere. You're going to the doctor. You're going to the medicine cabinet, and you might go to the restroom because something within. I know. This is what the Bible defines as compassion. And so wherever you see the word compassion, most cases you're going to find that there's an action behind it. Put up, if you will, Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 through verse 38. Now, I want you to see that compassion evokes action. But when he saw the multitudes, the Bible says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Verse 37 says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. And what he did was he took action and said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Look at Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 14. Here we have again Jesus demonstrating compassion. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. He was moved, and then he took action after the compassion. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 32. Matthew 15 and verse number 32. Watch what the Bible says to us. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Jesus, these multitude has been with you 3 days. You have been moved with compassion, and you're not going to send them away fasting. What is it that you're going to do? Find some food. So he found somebody who had a couple of fish and 7 loaves of bread. And Jesus opened up Luby's right there on the spot. Began passing out food to all of those who were there. His compassion moved him to take action. And then the thing about the miracle is at the end, he had more than what he started with. The compassion of Christ moved him to action. And he was able to feed 4,000 besides men, women, and children. And then Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 27. Here is a servant. Jesus tells the parable of a servant who owed his master 10,000 talents. And the Bible says that the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him of the debt. I know you wish MasterCard would be moved with the compassion of Christ. But when compassion is present, action is not far behind. So we see in our text that Mark chapter 1 and verse number 41 that Jesus was moved with compassion. And I want us to know that as followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, learners of him, that we have to follow his example of compassion towards those who may not look like us, who may not dress like us, who may not act like us, who may not talk like us. You know, I just got to be honest and tell you that I sometimes struggle in the area of compassion. If I see someone begging on the corner and they don't look like me, I sometimes struggle with going into my pocket and giving them something. But if somebody looks like me and they say, can I get a handout? I'm sometimes more compassionate if I can just be honest with you and tell you that sometimes when people have come from the same background and they cut from the same cloth, you have more, because I don't know if this is your problem. It looks like I'm able to extend compassion when they look like me versus when they don't look like me. And so I have to, this lesson is helping me to be more compassionate to those who may not look like me, act like me, dress like me, because I recognize that Christ's compassion is universal. So, you know, when we look at Christ's model for compassion, we need to investigate his compassion. Who did Jesus show compassion to? How did Jesus show compassion? And finally, why did Jesus show compassion? When you look at who Jesus shows compassion to, Mark makes it unmistakably clear that the man Jesus showed compassion to was a leper. He was not a liar, not a lunatic, not a legalist, but a leper. If there were two people who are diametrically opposed to one another, it's Jesus and a leper. If there are two people who are on polar opposites, it would be Jesus and a leper. If there are two people who come from opposite sides of the track, it would be Jesus and a leper. For when you look at a leper, the leper is grotesquely deformed. He's covered with scabs, oozing sores open on his body. The Bible says in Luke 5 and verse number 12 that the man was full of leprosy. He just didn't have a spot on his hand. He had leprosy from the top of his head to the soles of it. He is full of leprosy. This man dressed in rags and tattered clothes, commanded to cover his face. And everywhere he went, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. That would let folks know that he was coming their way and that they better move out the way, because a man was coming who was unclean. Not only that, there were some regulations. He had to go before the priest. The priest had to declare him clean. So here's a man full of leprosy. And rather than avoiding Jesus, somehow he knew that he could come to him. Now, when you look at the leper, he's messed up. The leper is doomed to death. But Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, is on the total opposite of a leper. For he is the great I am. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the bright and morning star, the root an offspring of David. Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And here he is in the presence of a leper. Who is it? Who is it that Jesus has compassion on? Those who are like the leper. Jesus wants lepers to know that they can come to him. Oh, Jesus wants lepers to know that they can come to him. He wants those with the obvious scars and deformities that come in life to know that they can come to him. For when he comes on the scene in Luke 4 and verse number 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at them at liberty those that are bruised." In other words, my ministry is about reaching out to those who cannot help themselves. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." So that tells me that we can never get too dirty, that God can't clean us up. We can never get too far out, that God won't take you back. Like the leper with all his sores, we too can approach God. Moses said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." And there are sometimes people that we have put in the box and we don't want to touch them. I have an aunt who was a drug user. And it was difficult showing compassion. We had her kids raising her children. She wanted to come around every now and then and talking about how our mama's babies. And in my mind at that age, I was like, mama need to be with her babies. It was hard to show compassion to the point I didn't even want to call her auntie. But Jesus says, if your drug abusing auntie will come to me, I can clean her up. If that gang-banging brother will come to Jesus, even with his tattoos on his arm, Jesus says, I can clean him up. He wants those who have the leprosy come to him. So Jesus shows compassion. The man came begging, kneeling down. He was supposed to cry out, unclean, unclean. But I guess he heard about Jesus was in town, and he heard about how he cast a man who had a devil in him, how he cast that devil out. And he heard about how there were individuals who had diseases. And here he is and saying, I'm full of leprosy. I know you can. I know you can help me if you will. So he approaches him. He bypasses that law of covering his mouth and beseeches and begs of Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion moved Jesus to demonstrate care and concern for this leper. Look how he shows this compassion. Verse number 41, the Bible says he was moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. The leper, when people saw him coming, the people were going the opposite way. But when Jesus saw the leper, he moved towards him. Not only did he, so this is now, perhaps he's been, the leper had to stay in isolation. Here's his first encounter with an individual. And I don't know how long it takes for a man to be full of leprosy. They tell me in Leviticus 13 and 14, when you read that, that at the first sign of a leprous sore, the individual had to go to the priest and show the priest the mark. And the priest would isolate him for 7 days. And if, when he came back, the hair of the sore had turned white, the priest would know this man is unclean. From the time of that first soul, this man has been isolated and determined unclean and is abiding by himself. But now he's full of sores. His first encounter now is with Jesus, who puts forth his hand. But not only does he put forth his hand, he touches him. I don't know how long it took, but from the time he had the first sore, from the time now he's full of sores, no one has touched him. But Jesus, now full of sores, puts his hand and touches him. See, the compassion of Christ moved him toward, come on now. We were dealing with this Ebola. And you know, everybody was watching who sneezed and washing your hands. Hand sanitizer. But here was a man full of sores, and Jesus put his hand on him and said unto him, I don't know when the last time he had a conversation. And so this was probably the first communication other than, y'all better get back. Said to him, I will be clean. And Mark says, immediately the leprosy departed. He was clean. Not only did Jesus come to him, but he took the action that was necessary to help the man. So I'm challenged to move out of my comfort zone, to move past my fears, to bypass my prejudices, in order that I could show compassion. Let's just be honest about it. You know, there are some people you know that have been struggling. You struggle to see them, and when they come, they got the same story. But what had happened was, and they always have a "but what had happened was," and they keep on. So We are challenged. I am challenged. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. Put that up on the board. Watch what he says. John says, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. If we can put that up on the board so we can see what that says. Together as a congregation. But if you have your Bible, all right. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? John says, not hear that your brother hath a need, not being asked to fill a need, but if you see the brother has a need and you shut up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If I see my brother in need, I have to, if the love of God is dwelling in me, I'm compelled to show compassion for him. In other words, if I see you on the parking lot with your hood, you got a bad battery, I got a good one, if I got jumper cables, I ought to be willing to help you. John is saying that compassion should flow freely. I already told you what the definition was. Look what he's saying. He said, if you shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love? In other words, and I want to say this right, we should never suffer from compassion constipation. Compassion should flow freely through us as children of God. It is the evidence that the love of God dwells in us. So, that means I have a problem. I got to work on my compassion. Because you need to understand why Jesus showed compassion. Go back over to Mark chapter 1 and look at verse number 43. After Jesus heals this leper, the Bible says, and he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Jesus strictly charged him and told him, don't say. When he says he strictly charged him, it was not a suggestion. Please keep this between you and I. Keep this on the low. The impact of that word was that Jesus was saying,
You bet not. I'm just trying to put it in words. You bet not say anything about what I have done. The tone was serious. It was not left to his imagination as to whether or not he could tell some. Jesus straightly charged him, don't say anything. And I had to wonder, why would Jesus tell that leper that? And watch what the leper does. But the leper what? Went out and began to publish it much. Jesus said, I want your testimony to be you going down to Jerusalem. Show yourself to the priests. Offer the requirements of the law. But this man went out and did the exact opposite of what Jesus says. You know what I learned? Is that every recipient of the compassion of Christ will not always be submissive to the commands of Christ. I think I better say that one more time. Everyone who is a recipient of the compassion of Christ will not always be submissive to the commands of Christ. You know, we have benevolent Tuesday. And you get people who come in here and they're asking for all types of help. And just because we help them does not always mean that they will be submissive to the commands of Christ. But we don't stop showing the compassion of Christ. Watch what he does. He goes and tells everybody. And the Bible points the picture that he blazed up. In other words, you know, the Bible says the tongue is a fire. He opened his mouth and lit a fire, so much so that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. Now, here's the problem. Jesus says in Mark 1, and verse number 38. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. I want you to look at the synoptic narrative of Luke 4 and verse number 43 when he says, 43 and 44, Luke 4, 43, 44, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Now Jesus saying, my mission is to preach the kingdom. I got to go into the cities to preach the kingdom. This man has opened up his mouth and is preventing me from going into the city to preach the kingdom. Jesus, why are you showing compassion? It's not because I want to be everybody's doctor. I have a greater purpose. It's not to be everybody's exorcist. I'm not about that. What I'm about is preaching the kingdom. See, the reason why we show compassion is not just so we can do nice things. It's about promoting the kingdom of God. We can do benevolence all day, every day. But if the kingdom of God is not promoted and preached, then all we're doing is just giving out stuff, and we become no more than a social service center for the community. In other words, the kingdom ought to drive our compassion. Somebody said, well, this man took advantage of Jesus. Jesus gave him his health back and told him what to do, and he didn't do it. And I'm sorry to tell us that we will do things and some folk will take advantage. But watch what Jesus did. He prayed, and the Bible says, and the people came to him. He couldn't go in the city, but God fixed the thing where those from the city start coming to him. Out of every quarter, let me tell you something. See, when we have our purpose right, and it's about the kingdom, God will fix it, even if I'm taken advantage of. So the next time I see somebody on the corner, am I just being nice? Or what am I doing? Is it about the kingdom? If I'm just being nice, I can go ahead and pull that dollar out and keep on trucking. But I got to be about the kingdom. See, and when you have your purpose right, when you do good things and people take advantage of you, you can always know that my purpose was about the kingdom. When that man left, Jesus went back into the wilderness and started praying, and the people started coming to him to hear. To hear him. You know, we have some people from other churches, I'm talking about different denominations, who send their members over here to receive help. Let them come. Because we got a kingdom agenda. See, when you come on over here, we can teach you the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is. See, when you have the kingdom agenda, when you have a kingdom agenda, you might get bullied at school and then turn around. You know, the people sometimes who hurt you will sometimes need your help. And see, when you got a kingdom agenda, if that is the case, you should be able to show the compassion of Christ so that you might win them to the kingdom.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. If we are to be God's compassionate people, and we are, but our compassion ought to drive people towards the kingdom of God. And if I know that's what I'm about, and you misuse my money that I've given you, I'm all right with it. Because I'm trying to advance the kingdom of God. Trying to make sure that the name of God is magnified in the land. And if you abuse it, it's all right. Because God knows what he's all about. So we can be compassionate, even with our families. You know, because sometimes you know your peoples, and they know you. And they know your habits. And so you got to be, we about advancing the kingdom.
That's right. That's right.
At the house.
Yes.
You got to be about advancing the kingdom at your school, everywhere you go. And so when you look at people, you can be moved with compassion.
Right.
If your purpose is the kingdom. I don't know where you stand in your relationship to God, but God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners.
Is that right?
And that he sent his son to die for us. Yeah. And so he's demonstrated his compassion over and over and over again.
Amen.
Will you respond to a God of compassion? Who desires and move toward you when you couldn't move? Respond to him in faith. Respond to him. Respond to him by repenting of your sins. Respond to him by confessing Christ. Respond to him in baptism. If you're here, you're a child of God and you're struggling, you need to know that there are people who love you, and more than that, God loves you the most. And he's desirous to see that you have life and have it more abundantly. You hear, you stand subject to invitation. Will you come as we stand, as we sing the song of invitation?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And
what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.